And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October 30th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 37. I'm Scott.
I'm Wendy.
And that's it. RJ out of town this week. He'll be back with us next week. And tell us everybody. He's over in Atlanta, which, by the way, not for the World Series. He was wondering how that was going to work out as far as what he was going to have to deal with being in Atlanta while the World Series was going on. But and now he gets to find out. He wasn't looking forward to it. I don't know. I haven't talked to him since he left, but he did send me a message before he left saying, like, well, Atlanta's going to the World Series. And it also worked out that because if they had played the first games in Atlanta, he wouldn't have much to worry about as far as, you know, crowds and everything else. They'd be over in Houston doing their things. But they didn't. They started in Houston, which means they're in Atlanta this weekend, the entire weekend that he's going to be there for the convention that he's at as well. So, yeah, hopefully he's doing all right. Anyway, welcome into the show. Let me get this out of the way real quick. Here we are. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out In-Game Chat for .net for all the links to get in touch with us. InGameChat.net. You go there, you can find out all the places we're at. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitch. You can find us on Discord. You can find us on YouTube. Everywhere that we're available is right there at our website, so do that. If you do go to Twitch, go to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat on the search bar there, and you'll find us. Like I said, easiest thing to do is just go to the bottom of our website. There's links all there, ingamechat.net. And you can join us live while we broadcast. AC Wraith hanging out in the chat room there, along with, I don't know who else is there. We've got Evans and Ice Wizards. Also Lethal Migraine in there. Ice Wizards seems new, but maybe not. Maybe somebody just changed their name to Ice Wizards. We'll never know.
It happens.
Ice Wizard sounds like, well, no, I don't know what that is. I was thinking the Warlock. Obviously, I'm going to go to Destiny. But I was thinking the Warlock class in Destiny, which could be considered Wizards, I suppose. But yeah, and they have their ice powers. So maybe that's what that is. I don't know. Just shot in the dark. Anyway, welcome to the show. It is our final show for the month of October. Winded down the Halloween season. Always kind of sad. Wendy and I went to it's not really a haunted house, you know. Yeah. It's one of those little scare attraction things or whatever. About an hour away. Longer than that, actually, yeah, I believe. Was. Yeah. Aatrox Factory, if anybody is, if anybody's curious. And if you've never been, if you feel like it, it's all the way up in Leeds, which is pretty good ways north up here. Little bit past Birmingham, I think. Mm-hmm. And, how long do you think it took to go through it? Like, is it a 15 minute thing? Or is that pushing it?
How long?
How long does it take to walk through the thing, do you think?
I don't know. I know we waited.
Oh, the wait time is
what, 2 hours.
Yeah, if you don't buy your tickets in advance, you will have to wait. But sometimes it's not all bad. I mean, put it to you this way: the night before we were looking at going, all the prepaid tickets had been sold out except for I think 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 10 p.m. I don't want to do that. We got there at just a little bit after 7. And we didn't get into the building until a little bit after 8. I say a little bit, probably around 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got our tickets. And I don't think we actually went into the haunt until around 9 or 9:15 or so. We were done. I've been to Aatrox before many, many times. The highlight of the trip, the highlight of the whole thing, was my first experience at a Buc-ee's. a gas station.
It was awesome.
Massive. I have never seen anything like that before. It is it's just this massive, massive thing.
With all kinds of food, with no pizza.
No pizza.
No pizza.
You a gas station without pizza. Even though, you know, gas station pizza, that's not bad. But they had no pizza. Still, I'd never been to a Buc-ee's before. That was unreal. It's just this giant gas station. It's gigantic. I had heard tell of the Buc-ee's, but never have I experienced it. And my God, it was everything they said it would be, which is weird because it's not that I didn't believe them. It was just like, yeah, ain't a big deal. Then you see, it's like, wow, they weren't kidding. This thing's massive. That's impressive, maybe, but it's just gigantic. It's huge. Anyway, for you guys local Aatrox up there, and by local, I mean it's 75 miles up the road. So, yeah, if you're looking for something like that. I'd been there before, and I've gone a few times, and it's different every single time. And so, yeah, it is. They'd really expanded upon it since the last time I'd gone, so. It's kind of nice. Anyway, yeah, that's what we did. As far as the games that we've played, I want to talk about Orwell because she's played Orwell and I played Orwell. And that's the only game you played this week, right? Was Orwell? Yeah. I played Destiny. I played Orwell. I think that's actually all that I played, honestly. I don't think I may have dipped my toes into some Metroid Fusion in between this show and the last show we did. Like maybe I played a little bit of it on Sunday. But I don't think I touched it throughout the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I messed with it throughout the week there. So, but yeah. So really, that's about all we're going to talk about, I guess, is as far as what we played was Orwell. How far are you into that? Have you finished a full day? No. I don't think you have.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really curious if we get. I don't know. I don't know if it's a game that has. Threaded, I don't want to say choose your own adventure, but you know, you make a choice and then it puts you on this different path. So when I made a choice as compared to whatever choices you've made, are you going the same direction I am? I don't necessarily know that it's like that. It feels like it is. It has that sense that, yeah, your choices are, you know, you're making a decision here. But at the same time, I really don't think that it, I feel like regardless of the choices you make, the big hits, the big story points are going to be the same for each person.
Yeah.
You may have some different dialogue and you may have some different options in getting to that point, but I think all roads lead to the same outcome, which a lot of games we've noticed and we've seen this, that a lot of games who promote freedom of choice or not necessarily freedom of choice, but who note that, hey, your choices matter in a game like this. It's going to determine the outcome of what you do. A lot of that doesn't actually ring true. They build it in such a way that you might think that. But as we've experienced with The Walking Dead, as we've experienced with, I don't know, maybe Mass Effect. I don't remember them saying a lot of your choices matter type of things. But in a lot of different games, we've noticed that everybody gets to the same place. They may go about it differently, but you still end up at the same outcome. Or you still end up with the same choice. There was a game that was very... I don't want to say aggressive, but they were very determined to give you choices. So much so that, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how we would even have a conversation given how many choices, because it literally does branching. Now we talk about, what's that one game? Detroit Become Human, all the stuff from Quantic Dream, that sort of thing, where they do give you these decisions. And lucky for us, in Detroit, their most recent, they gave you the tree. Like, oh, you made this choice here, so that's why you went down this path. And this is how many percentages of players made the same choice as you. Here's the percentage of players that decided to veer off at that point in the game, even though it all just branches out. in many different pathways. And there's a game I'll show it to you at some point, because it was fascinating. In the demo that I played, it was very fascinating to see, like, oh, these people made this decision, or you made this decision, or you go from whichever way that you go. But there was another game, and I want to say it was called Stories. I think it was called Stories. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but the thing has like 28 different outcomes. And I mean, being specific there, because I remember that being so specific, it was like 28 different points that you can reach at the end of the game because you made a choice. And the choices are binary, basically. You either go this way or that way. So, you know, you go left, you go right. And then if you go right, you play a section of the game until it gets you to a point, and then you have a chance to go left or right again. And then it just veers off into that. So, and I think it was called Stories. I might be mistaken on that and trying to remember what it was. Anyway, that was a good representative of your choices matter, and you can have a whole conversation where what you did completely is different than what somebody else did. I don't think that's going to be the case in Orwell. I think you will have some differences that I will, but I believe our outcome is always going to be the same. What was another one? Oh, Heavy Rain was another one from Quantic Dream. We actually have an example of that in one of our previous episodes where we talked about, we sat there and had a whole conversation, spoiler-filled conversation, by the way, about the outcome of Heavy Rain, because we did all make it to the same point in the game, but the people that we had brought along with us were completely different. Some people showed up as one character, and some people showed up as a completely different character because they had made different choices throughout the game. And even the ending plays out a little bit different depending on how everything went. That was nice to see. It was a great conversation that we had on that. But yeah, I don't think Orwell's going to really divert too much. But that's the reason that you're playing. Did you enjoy it? I mean, what did you think about it?
So far, I like it. I'm into it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it only for the fact that I was sitting there and being nosy about somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just going in, finding these things.
Looking for information. I like that.
Yeah, you're trying to find information. Then you get their handle, their chat handle or whatever it is. And then you start seeing conversations that they're having. Then you'll eventually get a phone number and you can hear the conversations they're having. At one point, I was able to get into somebody else's computer because they left their or they gave their information or whatever it was to somebody else through the phone conversation or chat or texting or whatever it might have been. And I was able to get into their computer and find out and then like snoop around and look at, you know, other stuff there. So if you like being all up in other people's business, Orwell's the game for you. If you just want to like sneak and read up on, you know, the things that they're doing and that sort of stuff, there you go. It's right there. I also played a little bit of Animal Crossing, because we're getting ready for the expansion that is coming up. They've got an update coming up on Friday, and they've got paid DLC, I think, coming up either right after that or on the same day. I can't remember. But big stuff coming to Animal Crossing, so I had to do my stock market and buy turnips on Sunday for 100 per whatever, and then wait and see what they were being bought for throughout the week. I spent around $1.5 million to $2 million in-game currency to buy the turnips. And my profit was about $6 million. So yeah, made around $4 to $5 million in-game currency there.
Trafficking turnips.
Yeah, trafficking turnips basically is what I'm doing. And guess what? Tomorrow we'll do it again. You got to prepare for these things because you're going to get brand new items, brand new things. Going to cost money. This whole thing is about decorating, which means you got to buy these things. And so it's going to cost money. And I'm supporting two now, so I got to support her habit. So, and loan her some bucks. Although you've done pretty well at making money in there, I guess. You know, doing your stuff, selling things, that sort of. Yeah. I don't think you play the Star. I don't even know if you have access. See, I'm not sure. This is something I got to look up for us because I'm about to buy DLC. Is it going to be attached to my account? Is it going to be attached to the Switch so that anybody that plays it has access to that DLC? I'm really curious about that. I feel like anybody that is playing on that Switch will have access to that because you had access to the same island that I'm on.
Right. Yeah.
They don't do that's the weird thing about Animal Crossing if you get a Switch, and we've talked about this, if you get a new Switch, or if you're playing Animal Crossing on a Nintendo Switch and then you get a new Switch, you upgrade, or you want to play on another one, be prepared to go through a process to move your island from one console to another. It is not tied. It's tied to your account, but it is also tied to the actual console itself. So you have a chance to kind of lose all of that if you don't have it backed up. There is a feature where you can back up the island and all this other stuff. I'm just saying, if you get a new Switch, be very, very diligent, vigilant, and everything else about that so that you don't lose your island. The point that I'm leading to is that all islands are attached to a console, which means when you join in, you don't have an island to your own. We're on the same one. You know, you can walk over part of the land and, there's my house. There's all my stuff. I can walk over there when I'm playing. Oh, there's your house. There's all your stuff. We can't meet in the middle because we can't play at the same time.
Right.
So that makes me wonder. I think the DLC you'll be able to experience as well if I get that. I need to look that up and find out, though. So, Orwell. I played further into that. I am on day 4, I think, is what I'm starting out now. So I've got day 4 to go, and it is a complete thread. By the way, Orwell is on sale on Steam right now, I believe. And you can pick up Season 1 and Season 2 relatively cheap, maybe 10 or under, to get both games. Steam is having a Halloween sale right now. A bunch of online retailers are having a sale at this point, and so you can find some stuff for cheap.
I need to get it.
A lot of the games that we're talking about, you can find for cheap. Well, if you look that up, I want to say that I saw it was on sale. The whole thing. I really wish that it was on Steam, or not Steam, Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like that because I would like to, like, you know, go someplace comfortable, prop up my Steam, my Switch, right. put the Joy-Con in my hand and use it as a mouse and just kind of sit there and relax and whatever and not just sit at the computer reading that stuff. I don't know. It's one of those weird things. 75% off on Orwell, by the way. On PC. By the way, it's only available on PC. So just to let you know. Where's the price? $5.61 will get you all of it. Or the Orwell Deluxe Bundle. No, that's it's Orwell Surveillance. Yeah. Currently, the game that we're playing, the first one, is available on Steam for just $2.50. And if you want that one and the next season, $5.61, which is really specific. $5.61. So,
I like specific numbers.
Yeah, they're very specific on those numbers. So there's a couple of sales going on, actually. I want to say I thought I put some sales into the into our news stuff here. But anyway, speaking of new stuff, that's what we're going to do a lot of today. We didn't get to a lot of it last week, but we've got the Animal Crossing update that is going on. That is coming up, and there may be some information there that I was wondering about. Xbox Game Pass, PlayStation 5, some of the sales numbers, that sort of thing. Yeah, we're going to talk about Meta, or at least the Oculus side of the Facebook stuff going on. And plenty of other stuff coming up here. Reskinned Sunset Overdrive and a bad comic game. Oh, wait, what is he talking about? Oh, yeah. Finally started Miles Morales. Okay, this is Lethal Migraine said he played only NHL this weekend. He grinded some in MLB The Show because it's double XP for a couple of weeks. Thar66 said he finally started Miles Morales on PS5 and Guardians of the Galaxy on the Series X. Chattiest game ever. And then Lethal Migraine said reskin Sunset Overdrive, which is the Miles Morales game, and a bad comic game. I haven't heard actually bad things about Guardians of the Galaxy. I've actually heard good things about it, and so many good things that I'm actually, I want to give it a chance. I was reading some reviews and that sort of thing, and I was watching some reviews, and apparently a lot of people had low expectations for that game. I have low expectations for that game, especially after seeing what they did with Avengers, which was not great. And then even seeing the massive, they did like a 45-minute gameplay demo thing that you could watch. I don't know if it was for E3 or whatever. It was sometime during the summer. 5 minutes in, I had no desire to watch anymore. I was just like, this is not holding up for me. Whatever. I think I remember, was I watching that with you? And I was fast-forwarding through. It was like, okay, this is too much. Move, next thing. Next thing. It was like 45 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah.
And it was not holding my attention whatsoever. Then I read the reviews, or at least I watched some of the reviews, and it's kind of surprising a lot of people. So now I'm interested in it. It is a single player thing. It's not being used as a games as a service. There's some issues with it that I read about, but apparently it's surprisingly better than what people thought it might be. Thar66 says it's great. The banter is nonstop, but it's good. Combat is a little clunky. That's what I've heard. So, Lethal Migraine's talking about the Game Pass stuff. I think the Game Pass stuff, because we were going to go over that as well. And, I mean, Sony did some stuff recently. In fact, I don't think I have it in there, but they sold off one of their... They sold something off for like $1 billion or more. But I can't remember what it was. It was like a mobile gaming or something like that that they got rid of, part of that department. They also created a PC department as well, PlayStation PC, and we'll be going over that as well. That is all coming up on the show. We're going to take a break right here. Speaking of Animal Crossing, we've got music from Animal Crossing, the Halloween stuff, which, by the way, if you are playing Animal Crossing, this is your weekend. Pumpkin Jack or whatever his name is, he's supposed to be showing up in the town. Mm-hmm. You give him candy, he gets you these things, and it's a nice little Halloween thing. So, this is music from that segment. All of the songs save for three were picked by Wendy on this one. I went back in some of our Halloween episodes past and I grabbed a few of my little favorites there that I enjoyed, and one that we just always play because, well, it's Halloween. Here is Animal Crossing New Horizons Halloween event music. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. You all right over there?
I'm good.
There used to be a thing called, if it's Halloween, it must be Saw. And that was true for a good while there. But if it's a Halloween show and you hear something like that, then it is Saw. I'm a massive fan of Charlie Clauser, who is the composer for those films. I think he's composed all of them. And he also composed the music for the video game, which I think there were two. And I only think he did the music for one of them, the first one. It's got a very Hello Zep motif, a little bit. That's obviously where it's drawing the inspiration from, which is his own composition. But yeah, so I've always used it. I've always enjoyed it. And that's one of the ones I pulled from the vault, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I was looking over some review consensus for Guardians of the Galaxy just to talk to you about. I'm gonna try and start doing this, especially on some of the releases, or at least where I find it, where people have not necessarily consolidated the reviews, but they have a nice list of here's what different publications and whatever gave this game, so you can kind of get an idea. You can look these up for yourself if you would like to. This comes from VG247.com, who has compiled some of theirs. Now, they did put a little bit of what they gave for the review, which was 4 out of 5. Their reviewer saying that Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is a curious thing. Simultaneously, one of my favorite games of the year, and also undeniably flawed. Super slick presentation makes it a must-play for those who put story first, however. That's good. That's right up my alley, They're putting story first. In order to make a game work, you got to get that formula right. And that formula involves the gameplay, the graphics, the story. There's a lot of things that go into it. And when you can hit those right, and not every game does, and most games don't, you only need to hit a few of those right, really, to get something successful. But if you nail all of those, you'll get something pretty amazing, at least as far as review scores or the zeitgeist or the people that are playing, you'll get that, a good amount of, praise basically. So I'm glad to see that they have story first. That is something that, I think they missed the mark with on, Avengers, which you have to understand this is not made by the same studio that made Avengers. It is published by the same studio that did. PC Gamer gave it a 70 out of 100. IGN gave it an 8, which I'm guessing that is out of 10. Games Radar gave it a 4 out of 5. Game Central gave it an 8. Game Informer gave it an 8.5. GameSpot gave it a 7. Who else? Destructoid, 6.5. Game Rant, 4 out of 5. Windows Central, 4.5 out of 5. They also got another 8, and it got another 7 from other publications as well. Pretty good numbers all around for that. That's not all of them, obviously, but that's not bad to have. That's not bad to have. I'm not saying that I'm trying to talk myself into buying it, because I won't. I don't buy games when we are this close to the Black Friday, because you are going to regret that purchase. Something I should mention, I don't have any Black Friday prices just yet. I don't have any Black Friday ads or anything like that. They don't hide that stuff anymore. They used to. It used to be something like if you came across it, it's because somebody who worked at the store got them in, or somebody who puts the flyers out got them ahead of time in advance and would scan them and put them online. It was always fun. It's like a treasure hunt. They took it away. They have just said, you know what? They're going to do it anyway, so let's just beat them to the punch. And when it's ready, let's just put it out there. So that's what they do now. Used to be fun. They took the fun out of it. I say they took the fun out of it. They really didn't. But it used to be fun kind of anticipating when you were going to find these things out. With games and the way that's concerned, technology in general, tech stuff, gadgets, games, that sort of thing, you need to hold off. Right around about August, you should stop. You really should. But here I was getting... that's the thing. You have to understand, I did buy Metroid Dread. That came out in October. That's the one rule that doesn't apply. You know this, if you've listened to us over the years. Nintendo doesn't discount their games. Not in the way that you would see like Ubisoft or even Microsoft on some things. You don't see them drop the discount like you would other games. You might see it down for $10 less, maybe, but probably not for Metroid Dread. You're probably going to find like Luigi's Mansion 3 or Animal Crossing might see a discount, a little bit of a discount. Go from 60 to 30 for just a little bit. Yeah, well, again, you know, Animal Crossing has been out over a year now. I don't think it got a discount last year. I really don't think it did. I think it was still the same price, $60 for that. Nintendo is notorious for not really offering you any kind of a deal during Black Friday, which that's kind of the exception for you. You know, if you want to buy something Nintendo-related, go ahead. It's unlikely that you're going to see a deal come Black Friday. You might see some on older titles, but it would be, you know, $45, $35, maybe $40 on a $60 game. It's decent, but it's not like what you would expect from some others. Guardians of the Galaxy, probably going to be $20. By the time it hits Black Friday, if it gets a discount on Black Friday, $25 to $30 is what you'd be paying for Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe. I don't know, but maybe. So, yeah, we'll see. What are we looking at here? See, it reminds me a bit of Jedi Fallen Order. If you want to impress a friend and show off your brand new OLED, this is the game that looks amazing in 4K. Are you talking about Guardians? Is he talking about OLED for... Maybe he's talking about... See, we were talking about the Switch, and I didn't know if he was talking about the OLED Switch. But if he's talking about OLED for just Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think he is because he was playing on the Series X, he said that's the game that looks amazing in 4K. That's where I'll be playing it. I know it's out for PC, but as of right now, my home consoles are making games look better than my PC right now. I don't have a card.
Your card.
Yeah,
the card. I knew you were going to say
Best Buy did a drop on Friday, online only drop, and I tried as hard as I could to get one, but no luck. So they'll do this continually, keep dropping online, and you know everybody will try and get one, and we'll see. Forza Horizon 5 comes out in a couple of weeks. It'll be a tremendous OLED show-off game. Yes, it will. I had the list of cars that are in Forza Horizon 5 because obviously I was looking for a DeLorean. It is not in the game, which is fine, though. They do have a Challenger Demon. They had a Challenger Hellcat. They had a Challenger SRT. Yeah, that's fine. But a Demon, that's woo. Mm. Demon, I don't. Did you ever read up on the Demon?
No.
The Challenger Demon. Just massive horsepower. Just more than you really should ever have for a street legal car. It's just massive. So much so that you can order it without a passenger seat to reduce weight.
I think I remember you telling me about that. Yeah.
Yes. You can special order that so it doesn't have a passenger seat. Or maybe it actually comes that way and you have to order a passenger seat extra or something. I can't remember. But it's just unreal, the power in one of those. And so I'm kind of curious. But yeah. Forza will be great to show off on an OLED screen. I think Guardians would be as well. There's a couple of games on the Switch OLED that I kind of like to play. I mean, I know what an OLED looks like, and I know what they look like through my TV because my Switch is hooked into an OLED screen. Although the problem is that the Switch does not yet output any kind of 4K or anything like that. It's barely putting out HD. It's just, yeah, that's what we're hoping to come from a Switch upgrade, but yeah, not yet. So, there's no way I can take my TV. It would cost as much to move it across the country as it would buy a new one. Moving sucks. Yeah, I hope you get that job though. I don't know what you're actually going for, but lethal. But I hope that job works for you, man, and you get it. What else do we have this week? We got brand new footage of Halo Infinite's campaign. We haven't seen anything from Halo Infinite since like a year ago, when they showed off something that everybody, I don't want to say they laughed at, but everybody looked at with a questionable eye of, what is this? Because, well, to be frank, here's Forza. Here's all these other games you're showing us, and then you show us Halo, and this thing does not look the way it should compared to everything else. But they've obviously gone over it and made it look better. The interesting part, and one that I don't necessarily know that they talked about before, was this whole open world campaign. I've never really considered Halo in an open world type scenario, but it gives vibes of Just Cause. If you've ever played Just Cause 2 or 3 or 4 or something like that, that's the kind of vibe I'm getting here, where it is vehicles and just the ability to go where you want to go, do what you want to do, one of the planes, one of the aerial vehicles that you can fly around in, and then you can go around the entire map anywhere you want to go. There is nothing that seems to be off limits like that, and that can make for a good game. I just don't know if it's going to make for a good Halo. Halo has been so story specific, so story linear, which is not to say that if they're going to break that up, it's going to be a bad thing. It might be a great thing. I don't know. But we're so used to Halo being a certain way. And understand, I haven't played Halo 5. I think I barely touched Halo 4. And there was a Halo in between somewhere in there that I probably also didn't touch. I went Halo 1 through 3, ODST, Reach, and then nothing after that. I think I tried to play 4. And I never really stuck with it. So, he says, I think it'll have enormous regions, sections, but not necessarily full open world. They seem to hint at that. They seem to hint at the whole the Ubisoft approach, or again, the Just Cause approach, which is, this section of the map is controlled by this group. If you take out their base of operations, then you have it now, and then you expand your empire or whatever. Not your empire, but you know what I'm saying. You're clearing out sections of the map of the bad guys, making your way through to get to the final boss type thing. That's kind of the vibe that I'm pulling, but that's just going off of seeing it related to these other games, and that's what you do in the other games. We'll know more about that, I'm sure, next year as well. Somebody mentioned something that I wanted to talk about, and now I don't remember what it was. Anyway, not that it matters. So, what else? Blizzard canceled BlizzCon to the surprise of no one, really. Blizzard, of course, involved with Activision. Activision involved with lawsuits right now. And they got to figure that if they did a BlizzCon, the focus would not be on the convention itself. More than likely, it probably would be in some regards, but there's going to be too much of what's going on with the lawsuit. It's just not the right time to be doing a convention type of thing. And this was going to be an online thing, not an actual in-person event. This was going to be just online, and they still canceled it. That's the kind of stuff they're going through right now, and which they brought it on themselves. Trust me, I ain't defending them. With all that they did, I am in no way saying that, they're fine. No. In fact, I want to say, what's his name? Yeah, he took Bobby Kotick, who's the president of Activision, took a pay cut, which, by the way, even if he took a pay cut, I don't think it's anything significant that's going to hurt him whatsoever. The California Department of Fair and Equal Housing and the Equal Employment Opportunity, in order to and avoid more... Oh, whoops. It decided to load the rest of the article in. Among them, waiving arbitration and having his salary cut to its lowest possible level, which is probably a level that any one of us listening or watching this or hearing this would gladly accept.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He did outline 5 new changes that the company is taking in a letter to the staff, a new zero-tolerance harassment policy, What else is going on with them that they're doing? They're going to increase the percentage of women and non-binary people in their workforce by 50%. What else are they doing? Based on feedback, we are waiving required arbitration of harassment and discrimination claims. For any Activision Blizzard employee who chooses not to arbitrate an individual claim of harassment, unlawful discrimination, or related retaliation arising in the future, the company will waive any obligation to do so. And pay equity as well. They're also going to provide regular progress updates from Activision as well. Look, I don't want to say people that work at Activision are bad. Just Activision itself as a company as a whole is just in general bad. And it's been that way for some time, really. And obviously from this lawsuit that's come out, we now know why, or we now know at least some of how bad it actually is from everything that was going on there. Hey, who do we have on the phone?
Chris.
Okay, let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, thanks for waiting, man.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you, bud?
Were you able to look up that stuff about David playing Metroid and where he got stuck over the weekend?
I didn't look up where David had gotten stuck. I was looking up. In fact, I watched some speed runs that people were doing with the game, like an hour and a half to run through Metroid Dread.
Yeah, that's pretty darn quick.
Yeah, I was watching some of those only just to see, like, because obviously I'm early in the game, and so it was easy for me to kind of watch people go through this and see how fast they got up to the point that I'm at.
Yeah.
Just to see that and to see just how blazingly fast.
Did you get the cloaking ability?
I did get the cloak ability, yeah.
Okay, then you've already passed by the room that he got stuck in.
Man.
You remember that section where you came up to, you know, you had a save room and there was two doors on the left and right, you know, a lower level and upper level.
Right. You go to that room where it's
had to go up to the one on the upper right.
Yeah, it's a four-door intersection type of thing, yeah.
Yeah, when you went in the upper one, there's a few enemies down below, and there was a ceiling that had like four or five hidden blocks, and I know you figured it out, and you slid up under the passageway on the right-hand corner.
I mean, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, that's the room he got stuck in.
Wow.
And what's so surprising, I pulled up the video at work the other day and showed it to my immediate supervisor, which, you know, I've known for a while, and she used to play video games, you know, years ago, Nintendo, you know, some simple things, but she's never played a Metroid, so I explained to her, you know, that it's known for having hidden blocks that, you know, look like the normal environment, you know, until you shoot them, then they reveal, oh, there's a passageway there,
yeah.
And such and such person, you know, told her about that, and then he got stuck in this room, so I just paused the video and where do you think the blocks are at? And it only took her 5 seconds to point it out.
Well, that's because and it's Jaffe, right? David Jaffe?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he should know this as well. So if you could look at the design, and you know what? I would actually love for them to do a, I don't want to say a walkthrough, but some sort of like developer commentary.
Oh, speaking of that, I did see he put out another video where he actually talked to Nintendo, and Nintendo of Japan put out a hints video, and they featured that room and showed that room that he had trouble with.
Did they just do that because he said it, or did they do that because people were actually getting stuck there?
I don't really know. I don't know if he happened to find out that they put out a video and he pretended that he had, you know, got credit for it, and he was talking to Nintendo because, you know, when he cut into the video, when he first loaded it, he was talking on the cell phone. Then he hung up and was telling you what was going on, and then showed you the video from Nintendo of Japan. So it's all in Japanese, but
right.
I don't really know. We know that the Nintendo put out a hint trailer, you know, and they showed that room specifically he was in. So I don't know.
Hmm. All right. I was gonna. Where was I going with that? Oh, no, I wish they would do a developer commentary, a video of a developer commentary and walk through something like that to show, like, here's how we designed this screen. Because it seems to go in screens, right? You go from left to right, and the screen shifts. Or you go up and down, the screen shifts, that sort of thing. And so you walk into that room, and I want to say, and I could be wrong, but I want to say there is an enemy that is under those blocks. I know there's enemies above those blocks that you're talking about, but I want to say there's an enemy under those blocks just enough so that you shoot at it. In order to, and I mean, obviously, if you get it, if you nail it on the first try, you're not going to blow up any of the blocks behind it. But I want to say that an enemy is there for you to shoot at in the, so that, you know, you're aimed, you're going to hit the enemy, but you're also going to hit some of those blocks, and it's going to reveal that there's an opening there. And that's, and I think that's part of the design is you, when you design a level like that, you put that in there. Yeah, there's some stuff that you're going to have to discover on your own, like sliding through to the next screen.
And what I remember, I started back on hard and went through, and I got to the past point. I beat the first boss that gave you invisibility and all that. But when I got to that room, I just jumped around, and then, you know, when it revealed the section of the map, it actually indicated on the upper right-hand corner, you know, it showed, you know, one spot that slid over to the right that was kind of faded, like, oh, you can go through here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, the enemies were there, you know, and that indicator on the map was there. And, I mean, you can even see it on the little mini-map on the upper right-hand corner. But even if you pull it up, you can zoom in and look at it, too. But the enemies and that map location, I mean, it was a dead giveaway.
They don't hide. They don't really hide things. Because I know when you look at your map, there are, you know, flashing sections of the map that says, look, you missed something here. You should go back to it.
Yeah, those are, like, for power-ups. But, you know, some cases they don't. But, you know, and one of the other areas that, you know, the next stage, you know, the next area, you know, the hot zone, I would call it, I got stuck in there when I was doing the first playthrough. And, you know, I said, I can't go in this room. It's hot. I can't go in here, and I can't backtrack any further. You know, it's got to be in this area. And I found everything in the map before, so it's something going on in this map here. And, you know, basically there was a hidden wall on the left side of the elevator, and it took me quite a while to find it. I finally figured it out, but one of the other people I saw that was poking fun at him, she was doing a playthrough, and I think her boyfriend was sitting there, you know, talking and commenting too. But she figured it out a whole lot quicker than I did. You know, some people just, you know, you just happen to come across it, you know, say, well, I can't go here, I can't go here. It's, you know, reason, you know, you just got to mark things out and then just search around until you figure out where it's at. And there's only so many places you can shoot in these different rooms. So she figured it out a lot quicker than I did. I give her props for it, but, you know.
Well, I'm enjoying the game a lot. It's a lot of fun. I just haven't played it. I haven't really played much of anything this week. I think a little bit of Orwell on, like, Monday, maybe that. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, hasn't really been a game filled week for me this week. But we appreciate you calling. We're up at the top of the hour here. Got to take a break. So
I just want to tell you some other stuff. Want me to talk to you during the break? I just want to give you an update on some other things for the game room I got coming today.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we're going to go to a break here, and just hang on the line. I'll pick up. We'll talk to you later, Chris. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got more here. We've got our PlayStation Plus lineup for the month of November. We actually got our games with gold from Microsoft. I didn't get that before I made our little outline here, but we'll also talk about the state of play that Sony had not too long ago and what they showed off. And what else do we have? Nintendo's N64 games, the emulation that they had for it is really bad. We'll go over that stuff. A lot of things. The Steam sale announcements that they mentioned as well. That's all coming up. Music here from A Hat in Time. It's from it's Mafia Town Halloween is the name of it. This is another one that that Wendy found. So this is great because I've never used anything. Pretty much everything that you picked, we had never used before. I think Luigi's Mansion was something we had used before. And Silent Hill, one of them, I think we had used. But for the most part, you pulled things from games that I had no idea would work as little, you know, yeah, Halloween-type stuff. But that's the beauty of it. So, yeah. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Shin Megami Tensei 4. Something about a forest.
RJ would be proud.
Yeah, he should be, yeah. RJ would know that, but yeah, so I have no idea how to pronounce that forest. Kikijiorji?
Okay, I retract that statement. Maybe he would.
KICCIGIORGI.
Good try.
Yeah. It's tough. It's real tough. In the chat room there, Lethal Migraines mentioned that Nintendo is closing their offices in Redwood in Toronto. I had read about that. In fact, while we were driving, either to Atrox or coming back from Atrox, I can't remember. I was getting the updates on my watch there about, because that was some big news, that there was a rumor that they had closed their office in Toronto. And then there was another rumor that they had closed another office. And then those rumors turned out to be true. And so it was like, what? Nobody thinks that Nintendo is kind of, you know, why would they be closing offices? I don't necessarily know what the deal is. They haven't released any kind of information that I know of from that. I actually haven't looked at my news feed for today to know if there was any kind of follow-up to what was going on with that. And if it was anything that that was interesting from it. I'm going to just scan real quick to see if there was something about that. That's the thing. Nintendo hasn't said anything. And as far as I can tell, nobody has reported on it this morning. Maybe they did last night and I missed it or something, but I don't see anything about it. I just don't think we know anything. That's the situation. Like, they've made the closures of these studios, but they haven't released a statement or a press release or anything saying, yeah, we closed those, and this is why, or this is what we're doing, I don't know. There's been no information out of Nintendo as to what's going on with that. I don't think they're in any kind of financial problems. It's Nintendo, for God's sakes. They have been printing money with the Switch. They've been printing money with a whole bunch of things. Nintendo is fine. So them closing two studios now is just a little strange on their part. But, yeah, we'll see. The organizers of PAX have closed PAX South. They have, I say closed, they've canceled PAX South indefinitely. It will not be returning. It is closed. Yeah, they brought it to an end for the foreseeable future. The press release statement that they issued just basically says it's not growing like they wanted it to. PAX South was always kind of the baby of the group. They had I don't know what they call it, PAX West now, but we all called it PAX Prime because that was the first one, and that was your big one, is the one in Seattle. Then they went to East, PAX East, and we're like, where are they going to have that? Well, they picked Boston. Well, that's East. Okay, that works. And then they did PAX Australia, and then they did PAX South. Afterwards, they also did PAX Unplugged, which I think is in Philly, and that's all board game stuff. That's all PAX Unplugged. It's your acoustic gaming. And PAX South, this is the first one, I believe, that they've actually started and then said, you know what, can't do it anymore, and so they closed it. When the first PAX was held in 2004, we expected at most 100 locals to show up. Never in our wildest dreams did we anticipate more than 3,000 passionate fans. For our one-time event to turn into a series held in 5 cities around the world. While each of our other events has flourished, some of them drawing hundreds of thousands of attendees from around the world, PAX South hasn't expanded and to some extent has remained the same show that it was when we opened it in 2015. That's not a problem, honestly. I try to go to the Seattle one all the time, or, you know, every year that they hold it, because it's nice to get away and I love Seattle. But with the pandemic in 2020 and the continuation of it Pandemic 2 Electric Boogaloo in 2021. I've not been in 2 years now, and I really want you to go and experience Seattle.
One day.
I know. But I thought, you know what? She'll get the light version of it by going to San Antonio, which they didn't have it last year because of the pandemic. And they didn't have it this year because of the pandemic as well. Actually, I take that back. They did have it in January of 2020. They had it. They just didn't have it in January of 2021. It's good. It's a good experience for your first PAX, I would think, because it is such on a smaller scale. And it was so nice. It's not that it was more intimate because of that, but it was just nice to not have all of those people crowded around. I mean, there is a place for that, and that's where your developers show up, but that's a reason that this thing kind of didn't flourish, is because it didn't have the crowds as the other places did. And so the developers were like, well, that's not, you know, it's in January, which is not a good time for a video game convention. Game companies take a massive amount of time off at the holidays because of Christmas and New Year's and that sort of thing. Almost like weeks of time off. They put in the time during the year, trust me, lots of time into the year. But the holidays, they usually take a big chunk of time away. It's kind of a dead time for the gaming industry. They spend money on travel for E3. They spend money on travel for PAX Prime, which is in September. There's the Tokyo Game Show around then as well. There is, well, Blizz, I don't know if it's BlizzCon or whatever, but there's a lot of things that happen in the summer and sort of the fall months there. But January? That's dead. You're not releasing video games. They do get released in February, but you've already spent your budget on promotions throughout that thing. And so just January is kind of a dead month for video gaming and for conventions and that sort of thing. But it was still fun to go get away. San Antonio is fantastic, by the way. If you ever get a chance to go, it's really, really nice. And it just didn't hold. So they've decided to cancel PAX South. It was closer, it was cheaper, it was less packed, and more relaxed, I guess you could say. But yeah, so going to miss it that they're not doing it, but that also says, okay, good, I don't have to spend money on going to two conventions a year. And now I can just focus on the one. Or maybe I can turn it into going to PAX Prime and PAX East. I've only done the Boston trip one time. Maybe I should go back, check it out, see what it's like. I don't know that I want to, but yeah, so no more PAX South. What do we have here? I'm eager to go to Seattle to check out the new hockey arena. It looks incredible on TV. Lethal, did you ever go to you talk about Seattle, and I know you're looking at getting a job there and that sort of thing. Did you ever go to a PAX? Did you ever attend a PAX, Lethal Migraine? I'm curious. I think I've already asked this question, or you've already answered this question at some point back in the past, but just curious, that's all. Let's see, what do we have here in the news? I opened up a couple of tabs here to talk about them. Yes, accept the cookies. I know you really want me to do that, but accept the cookies. Steam sale dates announced. Obviously, Halloween is going on right now. It is October the 28th through November 1st. Then they're going to have what is considered the Thanksgiving sale, the Black Friday sale. That is November 24th through the 30th. Then their big one, which is the winter sale, December 22nd through January 5th. These, like Black Friday ads, used to be fun. They used to make a fun game out of them. They would gamify their sales. They don't do that anymore. It was always fun to see if the price was going to drop. Like every 24 hours, they would have new daily deals. And while the game that you may be looking for would be on sale throughout the entirety of the promotion, it might get a deeper discount if it was featured as a daily deal. And so you'd wait to see if that comes around and like, ooh, now's a good time to jump on it because it's cheaper than what it was previous. They don't do that anymore. They drop the price to the lowest that it can be, and from the beginning, that's the price during the promotion. It doesn't change. And so, yeah, they made it easier for you so you don't have to keep up with it, so you don't miss anything, but they also kind of took away the anticipation, the fun. Let's see how low it's actually going to go. And no. So yeah, those are your Steam sale days, by the way. Lethal Migraine answered my question. No, he has never been to a PAX. He said they need one in the Midwest. Minneapolis and Chicago always get overlooked. I would agree with you. I don't necessarily know that Chicago would be a great place to have one. Minneapolis, though, that might be something. I don't know. I only mentioned Chicago because of the amount of the crime rate there is staggering. I've been to Chicago one time, and that was back in the late 90s is when I went there. And I really, really enjoyed it. I was only there for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, maybe 3 days, I think I was there. But I really enjoyed being there. But yeah, I don't know that Chicago is the one you want to, the city you want to have at. I don't think so. But yeah, there's some other locations Midwest that they could kind of do something in the middle. They've got an east, they've got a west. They don't necessarily have to do a south, but PAX Denver, I don't know.
That sounds good.
I know. We've got friends up there. But yeah, exactly. So yeah, those are your Steam sale dates. But again, remember Black Friday. If you're going to buy a PC game like that, if you're going to buy something from a digital storefront on Steam or something like that, those are the best times to do it, is during their sales. But there's no guarantee of like what might go on sale, what might not go on sale, or how low it's going to go, that sort of thing. It's always iffy on that. Black Friday stuff, that's for your physical console type games, that sort of thing. That's what you kind of want to look out for. I don't know exactly what might go on sale. I was thinking Guardians of the Galaxy might see a drop. The PS5 version of Ghosts of Tsushima. Yeah, to stop.
Good job.
I can't go all the way through the entire. I have to go Ghosts of Tsushima. That helps. If you pause a little bit. But yeah, that might actually drop. The PS5 version of that game might drop. I think you'll see Last of Us Part 2 being dropped again. Miles Morales, the launch titles that were out for the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X last year, you'll see drops on those this year. They've already had drops during specific sales, but you'll see some Black Friday drops on those titles. Assassin's Creed Valhalla will drop easily. Far Cry 6 will have a drop as well. Anything Ubisoft publishes gets a drop on over the Black Friday holidays. So expect that if you were kind of waiting on either a deal or just waiting to see if, you know, pick that up, see how it goes, this will be the time to do it. It will be the Black Friday stuff. We'll get those in at some point and let you know exactly what is on sale and for how much and if it's any good. Let's see, where the Wild Play would be a good venue. I don't know what that is. Three different venues under one roof, or the Minneapolis Convention Center, or the fourth floor of Mall America would be convenient. Not much up there, and it's 5 minutes from the airport. Yeah, there's good places to pick there. I've actually never been there, so yeah. Let's see, they data mined the Nintendo Switch stuff. So the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack thing, whatever it is, the thing that bumped up the price from your online thing to $20 a year to $50 a year. It didn't bump it up. It's only bumped up if you decide to add that on. You don't have to. You can still do that. Yeah, and I didn't decide to add that on, just so you know.
Surprised.
No. So, yeah, that came out, and the data miners turned up some stuff. The service will eventually include at least 38 N64 games and at least 52 Sega Genesis games, with the door still open for Game Boy. Based on initial data mined of IDs that have been cross-referenced with what we already know about Nintendo Switch, they believe that Nintendo is prepared to roll out at least 38 N64 and 52 of those, like we were talking about. I don't know if there's a whole list. It looks like there might be a list. A handful of upcoming N64 games are already confirmed by Nintendo. We don't know when they'll be added, but there's a list of those. Nothing's for certain when it comes to Nintendo's retro game selections in the subscription-based Nintendo Switch era. But that's a nice ballpark to look at to see what they might be releasing. That's a lot of games for that. But that leads me into the next thing, which is... close that window so I can open this one. The emulation that they're using for the N64 games in this thing is not working out too well. I'm trying to look at here what their article says. It's a bare minimum effort from Nintendo at best, and the net play sucks. We were watching a video, and apparently the controller mapping from the N64 onto the Switch is not the best. Yeah, it's not the, and then there's the multiplayer aspect of those things as well. Also not great either. Let's see, I'm trying to see that. As expected, the N64 emulator implement... Sorry, it's decided to open up another window here while I was reading. As expected, the N64 emulator implements the same lockstep netcode that Nintendo really uses or really loves to use. It seems that emulation is paused while other players catch up, causing choppy audio and other things. In other words, everybody has to be in sync with everybody else. And so when you're not, it pauses you. It kind of chops you up a little bit, letting this other person catch up to where you are network-wise. Not necessarily if you guys are in a race, it's going to let them catch up to you, right, in that regard. Yeah. It's just network-wise, they need to catch up because they're not in the same thing. It's not great. Modders and other people have made it better, but you won't find that on the Nintendo Switch. So, yeah, like I said, it's not something that I'm looking into getting into. I never had an N64. I had a Genesis for all of maybe a month. I don't know. It wasn't very long before I sold that.
Time to upgrade.
And, well, no. I it was very strange. I had a SNES, a Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Saw Genesis and wanted one of those instead. Like, Genesis was doing the whole blood with the Mortal Kombat thing.
Yeah.
Basically, their advertising worked. They were being all edgy and whatever it was, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to be the dork. I want to be edgy. Extreme. Nintendo's over here with, like, Mario Paint, which I bought. Sega's got the blood for the thing, and my Super Nintendo has just sweat instead. They grayed out the blood so it looked like sweat. Because, you know, Nintendo family, all this other stuff. So I sold that and bought a Genesis. And then I don't know what got released on a Super Nintendo afterwards, but I wanted that again. And so back and forth. Yeah, I know. But I barely owned any of those consoles, the N64 or the Sega Genesis. I barely owned any of them. And so I don't have any kind of like nostalgia traps to fall into with those two systems that I would like. Most of the nostalgia traps that I need are already been sold. There's like Sonic collections on PC, on Switch, on tons of different consoles. So, yeah. N64 was the last time wrestling games were fun. I will agree with you on that. Only for the fact that it was like, what was the game? Oh, we played so much. There was GoldenEye on the N64. Which a lot of people enjoyed, but there was also like a wrestling game, and I can't remember what it was called. Was it WCW versus NWO, maybe? That might have been the game. I think SmackDown on N64 was also a good game as well. You're kind of right on the N64 stuff, but I still don't have any attachment to those things. I just don't. And so that's why it's not really, I'm not enticed to do that. About the only thing that kind of looked nice was the fact that the Animal Crossing expansion was included into your upgrade subscription. Mm-hmm. I don't like that idea because if you don't subscribe to that or if you don't continue to subscribe, you lose access to that DLC. I'm like, no, let me just buy the DLC so it's completely with me the entire time. I have no threat of losing it. So even though I had a threat of losing our island and everything we had done. Oh, let's see. PlayStation Plus lineup. They say it's leaked, but whatever. I think we all knew what we were going to get out of this. And we're getting The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners for PlayStation VR. We're getting Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning for PlayStation 4. First Class Trouble for PS4, PS5. And Knockout City for PS4, PS5. That is what we're getting for the PlayStation Plus lineup coming up in November. Lethal Migrant says, the guy who made the wrestling games for N64 is in charge of the AEW game, so hopefully that ends up being good, dumb fun. I agree with you. I know I've, from looking at my buddy Dave's Facebook page, who keeps track of all these things going on, and from following other people who talk about that AEW game. I mean, AEW, I don't want to get into wrestling weeds right now, but, you know, is really showing themselves as a nice contender to the throne that WWE currently sits in. Right now, it is an amazing alternative to what they offer, and I would say a better alternative to what they offer. And they've been able to up the ante on their pay-per-view, their presentation, their even their weekly shows that they do. They've been very good about how they present it, how it's done, how it's just everything is just sort of refreshing and better. That's all I'm saying, all of this only to lead into, if they're doing that for their television, for their pay-per-view, for their in-ring live action stuff, here's hoping they're going to do that for their video game. The wrestling video games have been crap for the longest time. I mean, he put it right. Lethal Migraine said it right, where N64 was the golden age of your wrestling video games. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that they get that done. Games with gold for November. Thank you, Lethal. Moving Out, Kingdom 2 Crowns, Rocket Knight, and Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes. The thing about games with gold, I'm glad it's there, but Game Pass is fine. It's like, that's fine that you're getting that, but Game Pass has everything else you'd want. AC Wraith says, I want re-reckoning on PC. I was too cheap to catch the original version whenever it went on sale. Now I have to wait for the remaster price to fall. And it might. AC Wraith, it might. PlayStation held a State of Play, which was about a 20-minute video of here's games. You know, and you and I watched this, mm-hmm. going through there, talking about it. There wasn't a lot there that held me. There wasn't a lot. I was glad to see they're like, here, they're showing off some brand new stuff that I'd never seen anything, that I'd never seen any of this before. But what they were showing just was not, I could tell it wasn't going to hold my attention. Yeah. It had no interest for me. Deathverse was one, Let It Die. Deathverse, Let It Die seemed like a very, what's it called? Not a battle royale type of thing, but it just had elements of a always online multiplayer type of thing. I don't know. It didn't hold my attention. We Are OFK is a biographical game about the band of the same name with dialogue choices and flirting. Over 5 episodes, you'll get to see the story of how the band formed and play through 5 songs. It's also coming to PS4 and PS5. In 2022, that seemed a little bit interesting, sort of.
Kind of, sort of.
Well, only in the sense that everything else wasn't. And yeah. So if I had to pick something out of the group that they gave, I was like, okay, that would be one. There was a Bugsnax reveal for some DLC. There was the Five Nights at Freddy's security breach that they showed off. Death's Door was another one that they showed off. Kart Rider Drift. Nope. it said it looks like Mario Kart, but for Mega Man. That was not also. King of Fighters 15. Not holding my interest at all. First Class Trouble. What was that one? I don't remember that one. It's an online social deduction game where you play as a regular person or personoid. And it's coming to PS4 and PS5 on November 2nd.
That.
Yeah. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah. You could look different. Yeah. Star Ocean, The Divine Force, they showed off that. So, about the only thing I think we picked, the three that we picked were We Are OFK, just as a, let's see what that looks like sort of thing. There was, was it First Class Trouble, I think, that we were kind of curious about on that one. Maybe Death's Door. I've heard a lot of things about Death's Door that are, a lot of praise for that one. But the big one came at the very end when they showed off a pretty lengthy little gameplay preview of Little Devil Inside. Mm-hmm. The way the perspective shifts from a faraway view and then zoomed in, and the differences in style. The faraway view made it look like a little model map with some, oh man, what was that thing that we, that they have it in cameras, like HDR, high dynamic resolution, mm-hmm. where things kind of looked like it was on a model, like a train model set type of thing.
Yeah.
So it kind of had that aesthetic when you were pulled back from the map, and that was how you traveled between locations on the map. When you got out to interact with people on that map, it would zoom in without loading, and the aesthetic would change completely again, and it looked really, really good. Looks is what I'm going here. It looked really, really good. How well it plays, I have no idea, but the title holds promise, is what I'll leave it at with that. So, held some promise. Anyway, we've got to take a break, and we will come back in a moment to talk about more. I don't know why that closed on me, but we'll talk about more here. What else do we have to go over? Well, we want to talk about Facebook, the whole Meta thing or whatever it is. It's in relation to what the Oculus is doing. What else do we have? Ooh, Amazon Prime games this month are fantastic. If you have Amazon Prime or Prime Gaming, which if you have a Twitch account and you have Amazon Prime, you have Prime Gaming. A lot of free games in there that are really, really good. You should. I'm looking over at Wendy here. You should get that. You should get a Epic Games account, which you already have, I think, because you wanted to play Rocket League.
Right.
And so you had to get an Epic Games account. If you'll get the Epic Games store on your PC, mm-hmm. every Thursday they release free games. Sometimes it's two free games, sometimes it's just one, but every Thursday it's a brand new free game. And you can build up your collection mm-hmm. real quick from that. And then there's the Amazon Prime Gaming, which also is really good. And this month's games, and we'll go over that, are really, really nice. So if you have that, go for it. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Music here from, again, how she picks these, I have no idea. This comes from a Pokemon game. I don't exactly know which one it is. Sapphire, Ruby, Onyx, I don't know, Jewel of some sort. Mother of Pearl. I don't know what it is. But it is. It's a Pokemon game, and it's called Old Chateau. So that is the name of this track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Dead by Daylight. Of course, this is the fact that they incorporated Michael Myers into their game, and so they grab music from the Halloween franchise. This is not even, I mean, it's like pulled directly from the soundtrack. They didn't make anything new for this. They just grabbed music from the film and put it in there. So anytime he's chasing you, this is what you'll hear. And you just can't go wrong with some good Carpenter music. You just can't.
I agree.
So simple. So simple, but yet so just amazingly well done. So we were talking about, and also it goes by very, very fast, by the way. It's already over with. Yes, we were talking about the Amazon Prime gaming. So, you know, if you've got Amazon Prime, all you need to do is create a Switch account, or a Twitch account, and you'll have Prime Gaming. So, let's see. What do they have for this one? Is this all that's... Well, I thought they were going to tell us everything that is available, but they don't. And I wish they would. So, you can get... what is it? Shadow of the Tomb Raider for free. Or Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm sorry. Rise of the Tomb Raider for free on PC for Prime members. But there's a lot more that they've got there as well, which is really, really good. And I thought this was going to give me the entire list of games that are available for Prime Gaming, but it didn't. But yeah, it's a good week for that, by the way. Let's see, what else? Is there some other... Yeah, here it is. I do have the entire list. Let me go over those real quick as it loads here. As it loads, he says, while he waits... Full list of Prime games for November. Rogue Heroes, Liberated, Puzzle Agent 2, Demon Hunter 2, Breaks Are for Losers, Secret Files, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Dragon Age Inquisition, Control Ultimate Edition. Those three games alone, at the very end, are worth the price of admission, whatever that price is. Amazon Prime Gaming, I suppose. But I'm just saying... Most of you probably already have Prime, and there you go. Three very large AAA titles available to you. Dragon Age Inquisition, Control Ultimate Edition, which is pretty amazing that it's in there. I know Control's been out for a while, but for it to show up for free on Amazon Prime Gaming is a pretty big deal. If you haven't played it. Even if you have, just to have another copy of it for your PC, I guess, would be something to look at. Let's see. We wanted to talk about that whole... Okay, so Facebook did a thing and changed their name to Meta. At least the company is now known as Meta. We still know them as Facebook. But they have removed the option, or not even the option, it was required, that if you were to buy... See, Facebook owns Oculus. Oculus was a VR company that was... I don't know, back in the VR days, which was not very long ago, to be honest with you, but back in the VR days, when that was up and coming, there was Oculus, and they were really, really pushing that VR thing forward. And there were two options. You could go with an Oculus or go with HTC Vive. I have both at the house, which the first gens were just horrible. I don't know why. I know why I did that, but I never should have. And then the news came out that Facebook bought Oculus. This was also years and years ago. So they had been releasing these VR headsets and stuff and going on about their day and or about their business and everything else. I hadn't been paying attention to it until I got my money at GameStop with all those gift cards and everything else. Lucky Palmer. Yep. That was the guy who started the Oculus thing. And him selling it to, hey man, that's Gersnort, which I love the name, and trying to remember his actual name right here. God, I haven't talked to him in a long time. I'm so glad he's here. I'm trying to remember. Great artist, by the way. Dude can draw some stuff. Gersnort can.
Josh.
Josh, that's right. What's up, Josh? So Facebook bought Oculus and started releasing these headsets, and apparently, in order for you to use the headset in any sort of way, you had to connect your Facebook account to your Oculus account, or whatever the case may be. You had to use Facebook to do that with. A lot of people had some issues with that because they really didn't want to do anything like that. Well, they've removed that option now. As we focus more on work and, frankly, as we've heard your feedback more broadly, we're working on making it so you can log into Quest with an account other than your personal Facebook account, said Mark Zuckerberg. We're starting to test support for work accounts soon, and we're working on making a broader shift here within the next year. So, yeah, they're going to remove the login with your Facebook account in order to use Oculus. I don't know if the Oculus is any good. What I've seen of it, I like the idea of what it's doing. I like the fact that it is self-contained, if you would like it to be, and with one single cord, you can connect it to your PC and play all the games that you, VR titles that you can get off of Steam and everything else. If it's VR, you can play it on your Oculus headset. I like that option. I don't know how good the Oculus Quest 2 is. I don't know how good the performance of it is or the resolution or anything like that. Everything I've read seems to say that, hey, this is a good, nice little entry-level thing. And at the higher price, you get more memory on it so that you can play more games, I guess, through the headset itself. I'm going back and forth on it. I don't know. We'll see. I don't necessarily miss VR. I feel like VR is something I would use more of if it wasn't so cumbersome. Now, you've seen the room. I got those two little cameras up in each corner of the room. I don't have a room big enough to incorporate full-scale VR. I can do the sit-down VR. I can do full-scale VR, but it's in a really tight space, and that doesn't really help. You don't need to worry about that with the Oculus Quest 2. You can put that headset on in any room that you're in. It doesn't have to be tethered to your computer, and then you can outline the boundaries of that room that you're in. It doesn't matter what room it is, and then you can just play. You can connect it with one cord to your PC, and it's only a USB cord. That's it. So I could get a long enough USB cord to stretch back to the computer and plug that in. If I wanted to use my original Oculus or my original HTC Vive, there's a lot of getting that together. Like, you got to say, all right, for the next few hours, this is what I'm going to be doing, because I have to unplug my monitor and plug it into this hub and then plug all these wires up and just be occupied for a while in order to do it. It was cumbersome. It was fun to kind of dip your toe into VR. It just, yeah, for all of that setup, it just wasn't worth it. So, did you guys talk about the Zuck wanting to desperately make Ready Player One more than just 30-something desperate wish to be a reality? I didn't watch the video of when he was talking about Meta and what he was going to be doing with it. I didn't watch any of that stuff. I saw clips of it, you know. When we're here in the morning, we got these TVs on in here, and I would see it pop up. And when I saw that, I wasn't hearing anything because we have the volume turned down. But when I saw what was going on, I was like, that is totally like a Ready Player One situation. Like, everybody's going to have an avatar, and they're just going to hang out online and talk to each other through that, seemingly to be what the case was. I don't know. I don't know that we're going to get there, and even if we do get there, I don't know that we want to go there, is my other question, you know? I'm not sure. I don't know. Real quick, because I know of them through their game Hot Tin Roof, Glass Bottom Games, Meg and her team over there have actually turned a profit on Skatebird, which is their latest, which is basically just birds riding skateboards. That's it. It's little birds riding skateboards.
Sounds cute.
Yeah, you should look up the trailer for Skatebird and watch it, because whenever they do, like, whenever they get airborne, their little wings flap a little bit. Yeah, Gersnort brings up a good one. Josh brings up a good one. He talks about PlayStation Home. You did have that, I guess. Was that in a VR space? I know that when it released, it was not a VR thing, because VR was not a thing at that time. But did it ever last long enough for when PlayStation VR came into play? I don't remember. I don't think it did. But I know what you're saying. PlayStation Home, I was all about play. I was like, it's going to be kind of cool. And then I got into it and I was like, no, this is crappy. This is horrible. I don't like this at all. It was neat to begin with. The novelty wore off
fast.
Way fast. Like a cheap piece of gum, man. It just wore off so fast. I know it had the same idea, but it did not last. I thought it was cool. It was one of those things where it's like, hey, here's the PlayStation 3, I think, May have been the four. I think it was just the. I think it was the three. Yeah, it was the three. Here's the three, and then we're going to release Home, and it's going to be this environment where your avatar walks around, and there's going to be all these little sections that you can go into and learn about games, or just sit down and watch movies or something with friends. And it was just, yeah, it was not good, man. It was not good. I liked the idea, but the implementation and everything else was, it wasn't there yet. I think a lot of companies have actually tried to do these online spaces for you to hang out with your friends and do that sort of thing. The best ones that ever really did it, and it wasn't really online spaces, Microsoft. They did it great with One versus 100 and like poker nights that they did, like Texas Hold'em stuff. Those were all good. Everybody was there to kind of participate in a game and compete, and that was fun. And in the meantime, in between sets, you could sit there and play and or talk to your friends or whatever. It's kind of cool. Lethal Migraine says Skatebird is on Game Pass. So give that a shot if you would like to as well. But yeah, the skateboarding game had a budget of $201,000. I don't exactly know what they've made from it, but they said that they did turn a profit from that game. So good job. What do we have? What else is here as we keep going? PlayStation PC. Sony has opened up a sort of a PC department for their PlayStation games. They're bringing God of War to the PlayStation or to PC now. But yeah, they've created a new PlayStation PC label for its ports, switching over from the old PlayStation Mobile label. Nothing really changes right now from it, but that's a good sign that more is to come from them as far as the PC space of their games, which is always good. I mean, we talked a little bit about this last week where the people who are playing on PC, they're not going to buy a PlayStation console to play those other games. They're going to be at their PC. If you release them for PC, sure, they'll play them there. But keeping them on the PlayStation console, they're just like, well, that's just a game I'll miss out on. You know, and Sony benefits by putting it out in as many places as you can so that they can purchase those and play those. We've only got a few more minutes. Who's on the phone here? Oh, you don't know? Oh. Hi. Yes.
Hey, it's Fred. Listen, I've got a bag phone, and I can't get some of those games you're talking about on it.
A bag phone? Yeah, no, you're not going to be able to do that on a bag phone. Sorry, man.
Well, you know, I do what I can to try. I was just trying to get Palm. You know, that's my game.
My dad had a bag phone. I had a bag phone in... I didn't. No.
That's been 30 years.
No. I didn't have a bag phone. My dad did in his car, though. He had the bag cell phone. Not
the
cell phone.
Was more than the car, wasn't it?
Yeah, the bag was in the car, and that's how you had a car phone, basically. And man, it was the coolest thing because you would call people from and be like, guess where I'm calling you from? Right? It's not a thing we do today, but it was totally a thing you did back then. Guess where I'm calling you from? Where? My car. And it was just the most amazing thing.
I know that was the very beginning one.
I'm calling you from the future in my car.
How about the phone that in the financial thing, I can't remember the guy's name, he had that big phone, like looking like a satellite.
I know what you're talking about, the brick phone, the big.
And what was his name that he did in a movie and used it a bunch at Wall Street?
It was Wall Street, yeah, it was.
He had the big phone.
Yep. I never had one of those, by the way. But
and I've actually got one, and I've never tried to plug it in or anything. It's almost like art imitating life up on my mantle. You know, I'll bring it down and let you look at it, but I ain't giving that away.
Nah, don't do that. Keep it. I don't know. I may still have the bag phone sitting somewhere at the house in a box somewhere. I don't think I ever trashed
enjoying
it.
Enjoying your show, although I know nothing about what you're talking about, I'm still enjoying it and listening.
Nah, I get it, man. Trust me, I hear that a lot.
Thanks,
but
Jack.
All right, take care. Bye bye. Yeah, we are getting close to the end here. Let me make sure that we got everything that I wanted to cover. Or at least most of what I wanted to cover. Returnal got an update, by the way. If you were playing that, you can now suspend your game instead of having to... There were no save states in the game, so... Or at least there were, but not like in the middle of anything. You had to play through... Actually, I don't even think it had save states at all. Now they have suspension states so that you can suspend your gameplay while you go do something else and then come back and play more of that. So, what else was there? I think we may have hit everything. Yeah, I didn't talk about Game Pass or PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 beat Nintendo Switch as the highest-selling console. That was probably a month or so ago. And then Xbox Game Pass subscriber numbers grew, and of course, Microsoft made money off of it. However, they had a goal that they wanted to hit. They had a number that they thought they were going to hit. They did not hit that goal. So while I can tell you they made a bunch of money and they should be fine with that, and you would think that amount of money would be good for them, it's not, because it is not what they expected or the projections that they had. Holidays are coming up. The more people who get their hands on an Xbox Series X, the more Game Pass subscriptions they're going to have. They just got to get the console into those people's hands, which is hard to do because of chip shortages, the scalpers, and everything else that's going on with those. Josh, thanks so much for coming into the chat room there. It's been a long time since I've seen the new Guardians of the Galaxy game. Is basically a mix of Telltale's Guardians and also Rick Astley. Yeah, I know. I've heard good things. I do want to play it. I'm hoping it goes on sale for Black Friday so that I can enjoy it. But thank you, everybody that called in. Chris, Fred, really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Thank you, Wendy, for hanging out and for picking the music all month long. It's been great.
You're welcome.
We always end on this track here. It is the most Halloween music you can ever have, which is from Kingdom Hearts, which is the Final Fantasy meets Disney. And this is the whole Halloween town from that game. You guys have a happy Halloween. Have a great one. And just have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Saturday.